Well, greetings and God bless each of you this morning. I know, Mose, it has been a long time. Far too long. Far too long. And it's not that we haven't been doing anything, as you well know, but it's good to see some of your faces that I am acquainted with once and again. And the rest of you, God bless each of you. I don't know quite a few of you, but I have a lot of memories that are here. And my wife and I, my wife is Melinda, for some of you who don't know us, and we have 8 children. Our oldest one is married. We have a grandson, and the rest of us are here today with you. So we're grateful to be here and are blessed. But our memories go back into the early 90s as well as the mid-90s. My wife and I spent many a week here at Bible schools, helping out at the Bible schools, first at the charity building, and then we moved over here. Had a few other places in between here, but we moved here to the Ephrata building with the Bible schools, and I was here a number of years with that as well. I think the latest was 2006 or 2007, I think, was one of the last ones that I was here. So it is bringing back a lot of memories. When we walked up the steps this morning, I just remember all the young people going out after on break time, and all the steps they were being used out there, and running up and down the steps myself multiple times. It would be good for me to do that some more. But so it's been a blessing to refresh those memories and so forth. And I want to say this also, that to especially you familiar faces here today, you all have influenced our lives in a big way, and we're grateful for that. So it's good to see you, Brother Harold. It's just a good time of reflection for me here this morning. I do bring greetings from the Church at Faith Christian Fellowship, where we're a part of, and God has blessed us there. We're continuing to, by God's grace, to maintain in the faith and going forward. And I appreciated what the brother shared this morning on unity. It's a very relevant thing in our day that we're faced with, and the much diversity that is about us. And so we endeavor, by God's grace, to walk that way in unity, harmony with each other, and with the Word of God. And we trust that we can extend those lines of fellowship. And we desire to do that among ourselves. I also bring you greetings in the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. This weekend we were staying with Dean and Vera Stump. Old familiar acquaintances, knew them both before they were married. And Dean said, make sure that you give greetings to the church at Ephrata for me. He said, say it this way, I bring you greetings, or joy, he said, if that brings back any memories. So praise the Lord for all that. Psalm 31, verse 24, says this, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your hearts, all ye that hope in the Lord. Oftentimes when we go to a new congregation or a different location than our home congregation, the Lord maybe we'll use a message we've used before, preached before, and so forth. But that wasn't the Lord's plan this morning, and I labored and travailed to prepare here this morning, but this phrase kept coming back to me again and again. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. I'd like to speak on that this morning and share some thoughts that the Lord has given me about being of good courage. Jesus also used a similar phrase numerous times, and I was blessed as I looked up that phrase that came to my mind about the thing that Jesus used, the phrase He used. I'll read it here just in one place, but He used it quite a few times. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That word, be of good cheer, that word or that phrase together is the same definition and speaks of courage. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. What a blessing that is. And what a refreshment that is to us. If you'll open your Bibles to Deuteronomy, I'd like to read a couple verses in Deuteronomy 31. Verse 1 through 8, Moses was getting to the end of life and needing to pass on to Joshua the role of leadership and taking responsibility for the children of Israel and bringing the children of Israel into the promised land. And that was kind of the context here as we break into Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. It says this, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He shall not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Now, as we read those verses, I don't know what stood out to you as we looked at what Moses was telling the children of Israel and then also was telling Joshua. But again and again, Moses was lifting up what I believe was his element of courage that gave him courage in spite of all the things that he faced with the children of Israel, with leading the children of Israel, with bringing them through the wilderness, all those 40 years in the wilderness. The thing I think that brought Moses courage was the promises that were laid out before by God to the children of Israel. I will bring this people to the promised land. And I know Moses wasn't able to enter like he says here. Moses had failed God at a time, a very crucial time, and so forth. And we know that story of how that happened. And it kept Moses out of the promised land, but Moses was still lifting up God and saying, Israel, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Joshua, be of a good courage. I love verse 8. Just look at this, all the promises that were loaded into this verse. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. Isn't that something that brings courage to our hearts when we know that God is with us? God is going before us. He will be with thee, it says. He will not fail thee. Sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we wonder, where is God in the midst of what I'm going through? But these promises are precious. It says, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Courage for the believer is in some ways different than our society thinks of courage. I was browsing around a little bit to see what our society says about courage. And so right away, their reflections were, you know, the officers, the police officers, the challenges they face. And truly they do. They face some tremendous challenges. When they're called out to a scene, they approach that scene with much caution. They don't know what's happening. They don't know for sure, you know, what's going to take place. And so they approach it with much caution. And we could say there's a lot of bravery. They're very daring. These are words that I found on courage in our dictionaries. Bravery, daring, fearless, having nerve. We use that sometimes, you know. He had the nerve to do that. He had the courage to do that. And in a sense, there's some aspects of courage that relate to us in the spiritual realms, but I want to say it goes so much deeper than that. And I'd like to zone in on the core of what it is to be of good courage. The courage that God wants His children to have, I believe, is rooted deep in faith and love in Him. The courage that God wants His children to have, I believe it's rooted in our faith and love for Him. And that spreads out beyond that then in a big way. But it gives us that inward strength to face the difficult things in life. It's not about us mustering up something of ourselves. A police officer, he has to muster up some courage to approach the scene. But the courage that God wants His children to have, I believe, goes beyond that. Much beyond that. Because God's people are called to do things at times that we're totally out of our comfort zone. We have not enough in us to muster up enough courage to go forward and to address things. And yet God calls us to go forward. And the children of Israel face that over and over again. If you follow the children of Israel, and especially coming into the promised land, God would tell them to move forward. Yes, go fight. But He gave them the strength to do so. I want us to consider two other words that have this same word, courage, as its root words. I want to write it up here if I could. Maybe I'll put up here the title. Be of good courage. Can anyone tell me what two other words I may be thinking of. They're pretty common words, in fact. Some of you school teachers put a preface in front of it and you'll have it. Anyone? Encourage. Any other? Okay, that is another one. I'm thinking of a preface. Discourage. And as we think about those two words, do any of these affect us? Do any of these affect us fairly frequently? I'd like to, for us to ponder that. Because at the root and at the core of what God wants for His people, He wants to encourage us. I believe He does. He wants our hearts to be encouraged and strengthened. But I think we find ourselves under this category maybe more often than we would desire to be. And I want us to think about the things that affect us, the things that affect us in relation to, especially in this category, and then we want to also come over here under encouragement and consider the things that would encourage us. And I want you to help me, okay? I want you to help me this morning as we consider what are some things that we know that discourage us. All right? Let's ponder that for a little bit, and we'll get to the encouragement side of things. That's where we're going to stay most of the time. But let's consider, what are some of the things? What are some of the things that affect you, that affect me? And you're free to answer me, okay? The great falling away. Others. Conflict. Unanswered prayers. Others. Confusion. Personal trials. Health issues. Serious health issues, even just health issues, right? Lukewarmness. This side seems to be getting pretty full. Anyone else? Weariness. That is a good point, because I think sometimes it affects us even when we're tired, when we're just simply wearied physically. There's a temptation for us to become discouraged. Weariness, and that can be in so many areas. Let's move over here. Encouragement. What is something that encourages you? Maybe one of these affected you, but you found something that encouraged you. What are those things? Amen. The Word of God. I think this is the Word of God is one of the most powerful things, I believe, when we're discouraged and we come and open the Word of God and we get a fresh word from the Lord to us. Isn't that a blessing? It brings courage again to our hearts. Others. I'm sorry. God's love. That is a very big encouragement. Understanding friends. Understanding friends. There's a couple different ways we could look at that. Friends who understand us. Or, yes, let me do it this way. That's what you meant to say, right? friends who understand us. Brotherly love.
The church.
Yes, amen. How many times have we been discouraged, maybe even through the week? And on a Wednesday evening, we're heavy. We'd just about rather stay home. We've had a hard day. Things didn't go well. We feel a bit down about those things. And we come and we pray with the brothers. And you go home refreshed. Amen. Example. Example of others who have stood strong, who've been faithful. Faithful examples? I think we know what we mean here, right? Amen. Others? Glossonite, you're going to have to help me with that one. Resignation. Resignation to God. Is that the same as full commitment to God? No English word for it. Yes, you're right. What was the other one? Answers to prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, there's many others I'm sure we could write up here as well. But I'd just like to stimulate your minds to get them thinking about what it is to be of good courage and how we can be of good courage. I've got a few others here. I'll just mention them. And I think you'll relate to them as well on the discouragement side of things. Negative thoughts. Thoughts like, you know, what's the use? Everybody else is doing it. Those are the kind of things that will lead us down a path of discouragement. Our eyes on our circumstances, and I say that one there probably hits all of us all the time when we're discouraged. Our eyes are on our circumstances. No matter what it is, if it's a conflict, if it's an illness, if it's a personal trial, a confusion, unanswered prayers, our eye is on our circumstances. And because our eye is there, we become discouraged because that's where we're looking. And I'll just confess, this past week, on Monday, I had a circumstance that came my way that for a couple days I felt discouraged. I really did. I don't like to be discouraged and I don't like to go there. How many of you have been discouraged ever? Huh? I'd say most of us have, right? Some of us don't go down as fast as others. I don't think I tend to be one of those that goes down very fast. But God wants us to be encouraged. Here's another one that people face and become discouraged, dwelling on past failures. How many times, fathers, mothers, we dwell on our past failures and we struggle with discouragement because of it. Carrying the load ourselves brings discouragement. Trying to carry the load yourself. That's why we need brothers. That's why we need sisters. That's why we need each other. And most of all, that's why we need the Lord. Here's another one that can bring discouragement. I don't know how you find it, and I say this in a very general sense, but the news can sometimes bring discouragement. It dwells much on the negatives. What has brought encouragement? The fact that God is with me. That brings encouragement. When we know and understand, God is with me. In the midst of this trial, God is with me. It brings encouragement. It brings encouragement. Instead of my eye on the circumstances, to turn my eyes back to the Lord. And I'll say that's what brought encouragement to me this week. When I got my eyes on the circumstances, I went down. When I got my eye back on the Lord, I found courage. Encouragement. What brings encouragement? You know, dwelling on our past failures does not. But when we repent of those things and we believe the gospel, God has forgiven me. It brings encouragement again. When we realize we can be forgiven, we don't need to dwell on the past failures. Yes, we can learn from them. Those things happen to us. But when we just gloat in them, we go down. But when we receive the forgiveness that God extends to us, as we repent and believe the gospel, it brings encouragement once again to us. It brings encouragement when we cast all our cares on the Lord. It brings encouragement, the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the promises of God. I think you probably found too, when you feel a bit down, when you feel a bit discouraged, that when you sing, it does something. When you sing, just open your mouth and start singing in the midst of your trial. A thankful heart. Amen. But it's a real thing that we face. It affects all of us. Be of good courage. My burden this morning is multiple, but one of the things that I'm burdened about, and it was mentioned up here about on the discouragement side. Where is it? Falling away. Yes, the first one. Falling away. And my mind went there as I pondered about the subject of being of good courage. Why do we see so much departing from the faith? Why do we see that? I think there can be multiple things, but I do think that this thing of courage also tends to be intertwined in some of the very other reasons why people leave. And why they just depart from the faith. There are people that you and I know, they simply got discouraged in their Christian life. Whether maybe it was a defeat in their own life, a trial personally that they felt they couldn't overcome. And today, they're no longer walking with the Lord. Maybe it was church conflict. Maybe it was, the list just goes on and on and on. But somewhere, courage failed. Courage failed. And that's my concern this morning for all of us. I think that's God's concern, that we be of good courage. We're living in the last days. We're living in a day when there is much departing from the faith. But be of good courage. God is still able to carry His children through to the end. Discouragement is a death trap. We lose out spiritually. We make no progress forward. Many parents have become discouraged when their children have grown up. Maybe they had a vision for their children. They've had a purpose. They've had a desire. They see where they need to go. The children are young. And as they get older, become teenagers. And they begin to develop their own understandings and ways, and parents begin to be discouraged because they see that their children are not picking up those same things. And parents become lax, become discouraged with trying to give direction and guidance, especially when it's not received. Young people, you can help out your parents a lot in these areas. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm persuaded of better things of you. I believe we all want to be faithful to the Lord. We want to be as a bride adorned for her husband when Jesus returns. We want to be in love with our bridegroom. I'm persuaded that that's your heart. And your desire. You want to be in adoration. to the Lord. I want to look at a few men here in the Word of God, I believe, who had courage in the midst of their circumstances. They had courage. And men of courage are also men of faith. You can't separate it. When you have a man of faith who has his eye on God and his trust in God, he's a man that has courage to move forward. Noah was a man like that. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And I've often pondered that. You know, we think we live in a pretty corrupt society, and we do. And how do we raise godly seed in the midst of such a corrupt society? It is a challenge. But didn't Noah face a challenge that was just as great or maybe greater than what you and I faced? And I just marvel that he took his three sons and their wives into the ark with him. That didn't just happen by some circumstance, you know, just some happenstance. But it happened because Noah walked with God. The testimony of Noah's life was that. He became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah raised his family in a very ungodly society. Jesus talked about the society that would be when he returns again the second time. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, it should give us courage that it won't get any worse than it was in the days of Noah. And Noah took his family into the ark. Be encouraged. Be of good courage. Do you think his young people had any peer pressure in the day? What about that? I think Noah's boys faced some things, some peer pressure. I expect they were mocked and ridiculed. Here was Noah. Very religious man, probably, in their eyes. He spent over a hundred years of his life building something the world had never seen. An ark. A big boat. They had never seen it rain like we see it rain. And I expect there was some ridicule going on. Some mockery. You mean you're one of his sons? You know how that feels, young people? It doesn't feel well, does it, when we're ridiculed and so forth. But Noah believed God. Genesis 6 verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God." I believe that was a secret to the courage that Noah had in all that 100 years of building. I'm sure not everything went smoothly for him, just like it doesn't for us. Sometimes, you know, when we mess up on the blueprint and it just isn't going well. We have to do things over sometimes. Sometimes we have to backtrack a bit. And we do that as fathers sometimes, right? In our homes, we have to backtrack a bit. Say, well, we're kind of deviating from the pattern that God gave us. Let's come back to the pattern. Noah walked with God. It gave him courage. Genesis 7 verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." May the Lord grant us that courage as well. I'd like to think about Joshua. Joshua was a man of faith. Joshua and Caleb. We know the story of how when they came over the children of Israel came over to the promised land. They were just about ready to go in. And then the spies were sent out to investigate the land. And there again, God was wise, wasn't he? But he sent these 12 into the land of Canaan that they were to go in and inherit. And so they went in there, and we know how that they came back. And the 10 spies gave a very evil report. And I'd just like to read that if you want to turn in Numbers to the Numbers account of it. In Numbers 13, we'll pick up in verse 26, break in there. Actually, in verse 25, we have them returning, and they returned, talking about the spies. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, those were giants, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I think Caleb was just fed up. He was wanting to change the tide. He was a man of good courage, and he wanted to change the tide of these 10 men. Would to God we were like that. All of us were like that. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched, unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sights. Chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Brothers and sisters, there's so many doing that very thing, saying, This thing doesn't work. We're leaving. We're going back. Isn't that a whole picture of discouragement, despair, faithlessness, doubt, all of the above? Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Verse 8, If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Notice that. And fear them not. Would to God that we would look at our circumstances, whatever it is, that would discourage us, if we would look at it from the perspective that it is bread for us. That is what it means when we are of a good courage. That the circumstances that God has brought into my life or is bringing into my life is bread for me. It is food for me. It will give me the strength I need if I respond rightly to it. See, if the children of Israel would have only responded rightly in this situation that they faced with the 10 spies, if they would have all just said, forget those 10 spies, let's listen to Joshua and Caleb. We're going to go in. Yes, God is for us. God is with us. Oh, doesn't that just beat in your heart? See, we can see it from this perspective, but when I'm in my own circumstance, all of a sudden it dwindles, and I don't grasp a hold of that courage that God wants me to have, of being of good courage. Even though Joshua was a man of faith, yet Moses and God both exhorted him to be of good courage. Think about it. Back in Deuteronomy 31, where we read, Moses and God both told Joshua, be of good courage. Be of good courage. I believe Joshua was probably one of those men that tended to be that way. He tended to be a man that was looking forward and grasping a hold of God, grasping a hold of His promises. He had walked with Moses. He had walked with Moses through those 40 years across the wilderness. And he saw what God did for the children of Israel. I believe there was a faith built in Joshua's heart there. But think about the tremendous task before Joshua. Moses was getting old. Moses had already told him, I'm not going with you into the promised land. God told me I can't. So I'm not going there. But Joshua, the responsibility is going to be laid on your shoulders to go forward. That's tremendous responsibility. That's a tremendous load. No wonder Moses and God told Joshua, be of good courage. Look at it from my perspective. Did Joshua have any failures? He did. He had a great victory first. Tremendous victory. Actually, a few times that he had a tremendous victory. Jericho being one of those, crossing the Jordan for one. And then Jericho. And it was scaring the nations. It was frightening them. Like, what is going on here? This God that this people serves is for them. He's going before them. How are we going to stand? We know the Gibeonites, they were next in line after Ai, and Joshua made a grave mistake. He didn't seek God, but rather took things at face value and made an agreement with the Gibeonites that he made peace with them. And he didn't seek God about it. You know, Joshua could have stopped right there in his failures and just dwelt there. But he didn't. He didn't. He recognized his failure. He recognized he was wrong. He shouldn't have handled it that way. But it was too late for that. But he continued on and led the children of Israel in victory after victory after victory. Even to the place where Caleb finally, how old was he? When he said, give me this mountain! Remember that? I forget how old he was. Was he 80 years old? That's what comes to my mind, but I wasn't quite sure. Amen. May the Lord give us that kind of courage. The courage that Noah had to lead his family. The courage that Joshua had to lead the children of Israel. Let's look at another man. David was a man of courage. He faced Goliath, didn't he? Where did he get his courage? He was just a young lad, just a stripling, the Bible says. He was a shepherd boy. Where did he get his courage? Anyone, where did he get his courage? Meditating upon God's Word. And from God Himself, I believe that's where he got his courage. He said, I was out there with the sheep and a lion and a bear came and you know, he said what he did. You know, he killed them. Delivered the lamb right out of the lion's or the bear's mouth. And he had that courage, didn't he? Was that all bravery on his own part? No, I don't believe so. I think he knew his God. He had been spending that time with God. You know, brothers and sisters, that gives us courage. Spending that time with God. And then came the Goliath. There came Goliath. And when David was there and he had brought some food for his brothers there and so forth, and he heard this Goliath make some very bold statements, and it troubled him. It troubled David. Here was God's name at stake. And I don't believe that David had confidence in himself, but he had confidence that the very God whom Goliath defied and was defying was able to take that Goliath down. That giant. So David presented himself to take on this challenge while all of Israel was hiding in the bushes. David took to this challenge, not because of who he was, but because he knew that God was for him, that God was with him. Because when he approached the giant, what did he say? He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. I come to you in that name. And that name brings courage to us. Young people, just like David faced giants in the lands, we're facing giants in the land. There are some giants that stand right in front of us. And they are defying the God of Israel. You can't stand in this day. Those kind of giants, you're not going to make it. Those kind of giants, they're defying the God of Israel. Be of good courage. Know your God. Get acquainted with Him, young people. There are peer pressures in our day that are giants. Unfortunately, sometimes they're right among us. The peer pressures that want to flood in over us. Wrong music, entertainment, all these can be giants for us as young people. Worldly fashions, these things press in upon God's people. Not just young people, but it presses in on all of us, doesn't it? And I think one big giant that all of us are wondering what to do with at times is this whole thing of technology. It's pressing in on us and we wonder, how shall we handle this? And it's standing up to defy the God of Israel and rob us of our intimate personal relationship with Him. And we allow it. Some of these things will bring our courage low. It has many subtle influences, doesn't it? And I love what David said. When he heard what the giant said, and everyone else was fleeing, and he was like, is there not a cause? Isn't there something that we could do for God in this and avail ourselves? Is there not a cause to stand up for? An almighty God who is able to take that giant right down. Be of good courage. There is a cause. Well, David also faced times of discouragement. If you read through the book of Psalms, you'll find phrases like, "In my distress! In my distress!" David faced many times of discouragement. Phrases like this, "Out of the depth have I cried unto thee." Or phrases like, "Hear my cry, O God! Attend unto my prayer! From the ends of the earth I cry unto thee. When my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Be of good courage." You know, Saul hunted David like an animal. And one of those times, David had fled to Ziklag with his men and was living in Ziklag. And then, not sure how all the story went there, but the Amalekites had come up against Ziklag, and David wasn't there at the time with his men. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 through 4, it says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Isn't that utter discouragement? Everything was taken. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It says then, just a couple verses down, it says, "And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because that the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." But look, it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." We need times like that, brothers and sisters. We need times like that. You feel discouraged? David can identify with that. He was much distressed, but it says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When we spend time right here and then on our knees, we'll find he'll encourage our hearts again in those times of discouragement. A few other instances I'd like to touch on. Daniel. We know the story of Daniel, one of the favorites, right, children? The story of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. Why did he go there? Why was Daniel thrown into the lion's den anyway? Anybody know? Any of you children know why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Did he do something really bad? No. So what did he do? Anyone know? Yes. He prayed to God. That's right, he prayed to God. Was that something bad? No, we know it wasn't. But there had been a decree made by the king. No one was to pray to anyone else but to the king. And Daniel was used to praying three times a day. He would pray. He would get on his knees and pray. He heard the decree go out. He knew what the consequences was if he didn't do that. But he still went and prayed. Do you think that took courage? That took a lot of courage to open your window and pray to the God of heaven just like you had done before, knowing that the lion's den awaits you. I don't know if he knew they were plotting against him or not. But he just continued faithfully with his God. And God shut the lion's mouth. He wasn't no hungry. Oh, the lions, I don't know if they were hungry or not. They probably were, because it says that God shut their mouth. And they couldn't harm Daniel. He didn't become their dinner after all. God stands up for those who trust in Him. He had the courage, Daniel did, not to compromise. You know, this was only a 30-day deal. So why couldn't he have just waited 30 days, like maybe some of us would tend to want to think we should do, maybe, to save our hide? But no, Daniel just prayed to God just like he did before. He didn't compromise. It takes courage not to compromise. It takes a lot of courage. But God honored his faith and his trust. I think about the three Hebrew children who had the courage not to bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, even though they knew the consequences as well. And the consequences was they would be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And it ended up it wasn't just a burning fiery furnace. They heated it 7 times hotter than it was normally heated. So much so that the men who threw those three men, those three Hebrew children in, were slain. Those mighty men were slain because of the fury of the flames. But those men would not bow. They would not compromise. They wouldn't get down on their knees with everybody else and just pray to their gods. They wouldn't bow, period. Well, what are the things that we face? Do we face them with the courage like these men had? Do we face the things, our circumstances, with that kind of courage? I think sometimes the things that I faced and become discouraged about, I look at these men and what they faced, and I think my little trials are pretty small. Pretty small. And yet I get discouraged. Be of good courage, God says to us. God wants to use the small things in life, the circumstances that come, to prepare us for the bigger things. If we're falling down and becoming discouraged with the small things and the small challenges in life, what are we going to do when the big challenges come? What are we going to do then? Are we going to cave in and compromise? Do you see the root of being of good courage? How we need it. How we need our faith anchored in God. How we need our faith anchored in His Word. How we need to trust the promises of God. How we need to grab a hold of those for our own selves. If we're going to stand in these evil days, we need to be of good courage. The recipe for courage to anything that we face is in this book. You ladies like recipes, right? The recipe for courage is in this book. It's not how somehow we muster up some faith, but it's in believing what God has said and casting ourselves upon Him that brings courage. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Psalm 108 verse 13 says, "Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies." And discouragement is an enemy. God can trample that one down pretty easy if we'll put our trust in Him. You know, discouragement, I remember I didn't actually feel very well. And I don't know, maybe I was also trying to fight something off earlier in the week. We had some sickness going around and so on. But you know, I found it though that way, that discouragement actually doesn't make you feel very well. It doesn't make you feel very well, even physically. It just kind of is a drag on you. And would to God we had a pill, you know, that we could just swallow and we would be all better. Well, we do. We have one. It's found in the Word of God. Our faith and our trust and our confidence going to the Lord. Our eyes turning to Him. It's really not complicated. It's not really some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that we have to do till we get there. Turn your eyes on the Lord. Turn your heart back to Him. And you'll find He'll give you that courage you need. What affects our courage? It's different probably for most of us, but we have courage when the grace of God is upon our lives. God's answering our prayers. That's inspiring, isn't it? Gives us courage. What if He's not? So now we go down in discouragement, or can we still lay it at God's hand and His feet and say, Lord, You're in control of this situation. When we have the grace of God upon our lives, it gives us courage. When we know God is with us, it gives us courage. When we read His Word and we believe God's Word, His promises, we know that God is with us. And it gives us courage when we read His Word. When we pray and we cast our cares on the Lord, it gives us courage. My mind went to Acts 16, where Paul and Silas were put into prison for their faith because they had cast out an evil spirit and the men weren't happy. They had lost some business there. And so they were cast into prison. And there they had been beaten and they were put their feet fast in stocks. And what does it say that happens? Paul and Silas sat down and said, oh my, what have we done now? Oh, look at the situation we're in. This is just terrible. I mean, they've just so unjustly did all this to us and started having a good grand old pity party. No! It says they prayed and they sang praises. And what did God do? Shook the whole prison. What can He do for us in our circumstances? When we pray and we sing praises, I wonder. I'm challenging my own heart to be of good courage because the situations we face are very real. I'm not trying to be unrealistic this morning. I'm just trying to lift up our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, He is able. Be of good courage. Whatever your circumstance is, when our eyes turn on to the Master, He is able to bring encouragement to us again. No longer are we just looking at our circumstance. But when our eyes turn on the Master, He brings courage to us. There's a song that was written. It's in our Purple Martins here that we sing sometimes. But two lines of this song says this. Courage, brother, do not stumble, though thy path be dark as night. There's a star to guide the humble. Trust in God and do the right. Though the road be rough and dreary, and its end far out of sight, foot it bravely, strong or weary, trust in God and do the right. I love those words. Brothers and sisters, be of good courage. You may feel like your road has been difficult. You feel like your road has been hard. Look at other examples of those who've gone before and went through some hard things in life. And still today, they're faithful. They're walking with God. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May God give you grace, wisdom, courage. And let's be faithful. Let's get a hold of what that really means to be of good courage in these days that we live in. Speak to myself on these things. God bless each of you. We love you all.
Thank you, David. May we truly take those words to heart. They are a blessing. We need them in our day very much. Lift up our heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. I thought of one of the things on the list there is the coming of the Lord. And we should put our faith and trust in God. He's soon coming again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. Anyone else have a word of testimony? Raise your hand. We have a few minutes here. Brother Carl up here. And add a few words of testimony.
Yes, well, I have to go in the category of extremely blessed this morning. It's been good to be here. And I'd like to just say about Brother Mark's message, I was really blessed with that too. That's actually a difficult subject that is often discouraging, because so much of the time in reality we see the opposite. And I was really blessed with his willingness to just open it up and look at what the scriptures say. It is there, and I was encouraged with that. So thank you, Brother Mark. And Brother David's message just really blessed me. I was challenged to think of the fact that every one of us, he said most of us, I think it's all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, have faced those times of discouragement. But if we allow ourselves to stay in that discouraged column for too long, discouragement hardens into unbelief. And when unbelief begins to take foot, we're on that way out. And I think that answers why we see some of the falling away that we do when people find themselves naturally slipping into discouragement because of circumstances. And we fail to go find the presence of God, which is really, Brother David said that very clearly. And that envelops many of those things over in the encouragement column. And I had to think of Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph, where he was lamenting the fact as he looked out and saw men who did not fear God. And yet it seemed like life is going well for them and they're not having the difficulties that we face as a believer in that psalm. And the thing that turned the tide for him was when I went into the house of God. And what's in the house of God? It's the presence of God. It's where God dwells. And then he says, then I understood their end. And I think that point where we can step away from our discouragement enough to feel and sense the presence of God in a real way, it's when we find the answers. And I've heard the statement made that behind every atheist is a wounded Christian. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but I will say, in my experience, I've found many of them to be that way. And I think it happens because of a wounded Christian has stayed in that discouragement column for too long. And it hardens into unbelief, and unbelief into hatred towards God. It's a very sad state. So may God help us to move ourselves by the choice of our will into the presence of God and find courage there. So thank you, Brother David.
Anyone else?
The encouragement that we got from the message today, and there is a pill to help us, to give us that courage. It's the gospel. I'm thankful for the gospel. And I think part of the encouragement is the being persuaded that God will keep that which we've committed unto him against that day, and being persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ and from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus.
Scripture says he is able to do it. Keep us from falling and present us faultless before the throne of grace. James?
Yeah, I just want to bless you, Brother David, for just heeding the Spirit's prompting there and picking up this topic of encouragement. I think I was just thinking back, you know, when you're a young person, you know, you have certain issues, you need to have courage, just make a stand. You get older, you know, get married, have children, then there's other issues where you need encouragement. It's something that we need in our lives. And I think as we get older, the problems don't go away. We always have to have encouragement. And I appreciate that and bless you for your labors and for sharing and encouraging us here this morning. I'll confess that this week I just went through a time of discouragement, and I just thank that the Lord was faithful and give me a word of encouragement here and a blessing this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.